Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Chain Attack.
Chain Attack is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated specializes in customer service, low prices, and prompt shipping. You can find our web store at www.discountgamesinc.com.
Welcome to Chain Attack Greeting Geekery. I'm your host, Trevor, and I do things at home.
Hi, Trevor. I'm Jay, and I have started the sacred quest for toilet paper. Before this pandemic started, Brian and I were like, okay, we've got a fair bit. We can last until things become sane and the toilet paper restocks. And it turns out that our toilet paper wasn't as large as people's insanity, so.
And I'm Josh, and I guess to keep on the home and toilet paper theme, I installed a bidet to ward off the insanity, needing as much toilet paper.
You better not let your constituents know this, because they'll think that it's like some sort of French influence or something, then that you're a crazy liberal.
So this is episode zero of our new series, our new podcast, and we normally record in the same room, so you need to I guess give us some time before we can get back to that, because currently there's a pandemic going on. So if you're listening to this a few years down the road, you'll understand that we are recording over Skype currently.
As you study the history books and year one of the quarantines, you'll know that this was year one.
Yeah, I mean, we spent years podcasting with each other in the same room, and it's been kind of weird doing the Skype thing with each other. But here we are.
Yeah, it's a little easier to detect pauses or when somebody's about to be done or whatever when we're in the same room. Sometimes we unintentionally run over each other on this because we can't see each other.
Yeah.
So okay, anyway, this is episode zero. Yeah, this is our explaining what the podcast is and how it works and who we are.
Well, why don't we start with some introductions? I'm Jay Larson. I have been a gamer for all my life. I think that's going to be true for all three hosts. Growing up, it was playing Rook and Rummikub and watching my family play Pinochle. And then my brother got me into Magic when I was in high school. And we also, he was a fair bit older than me, but he would introduce me to like Avalon Hill games like Titan and stuff like that. And I own and operate Discount Games Inc. on the interwebs and Gameopolis in Idaho Falls, Idaho. And I have two beautiful cats and one wonderful husband.
Josh, go ahead.
All right. I'm Josh Wheeler. I'm the owner and, by the time you're listening to this, the president of an electrical contracting firm in Idaho Falls known as Wheeler Electric. I, like Jay, have been a gamer for as long as I can remember. I remember my father bringing home an Atari 2600 and singing happy birthday to himself. That's one of my earliest memories. And I later remember him bringing home the red box of Advanced Dungeons and Dragons and my cousins and I trying to like play a game. So I have memory of the art in that book of the Rust Monster and things like that. And we were a little too young to really figure it out on our own, and nobody really shepherded us there. So played a lot of Risk back in those days. I got into Magic the Gathering in high school also. When my girlfriend at the time dumped me, who later became my wife, but, you know, I consoled myself with lots and lots of Magic the Gathering packs and game. Once I got older and got married and everything, I got more into hobby board games. I, like a lot of people, probably Settlers of Catan was one of the first that I ever remember playing in that space. I got it from my father for Father's Day, set it up and played it a few times before I actually gave it to him, you know, just to make sure it was a good gift. I'm courteous like that. and then my two co-hosts many years ago, it wasn't really a hard hook to set, but they did set the hook and roped me into playing War Machine Hordes. So that's been the miniatures game. And then I've played computer games my whole life. As a matter of fact, one of my wife's memories of me in seminary, religious studies in high school, is that I was sitting in the back of the class reading the manual to Sid Meier's Civilization instead of probably the scriptures like I was supposed to be reading in the class. But, you know, there's
I thought you were going to tell the honeymoon story.
Oh, I forgot about that one. I'll tell that briefly. Sure, she hasn't brought it up for a few years, so maybe she's forgotten.
I doubt it.
My wife and I had been married, we got married on the 19th of December. So we've been married basically 3 or 4 days. We went on a little honeymoon close by, came back home. Both of us are from Idaho Falls, back home to spend Christmas with our family. But basically, the evening before Christmas Eve, I tucked her into bed and then went to play Warhammer Quest with my friends until like 4 in the morning. And I think it was a bit more of a shock for her than I realized. Like, oh, I married a really big nerd, you know. I probably haven't lived that one down. Maybe let's not bring that memory up here while I'm in quarantine. So that is a little bit about me. Yes. Go ahead.
How many kids do you have?
We have 6. We have 5 living. We lost a son, it's been a year and a half ago, to cancer. So that question's always weird for me to answer. I always say we have 6. 4 girls and 2 boys.
They range
in age from 20 to 7. So we try to cover all the gamuts.
You also forgot one of your titles, Josh. You are on the city council of Ammon, Idaho.
That's right. I was going to claim to be introverted enough that I read Lord of the Rings like 5 times, you know, in elementary school. But somehow I didn't sound introverted when I say that I'm involved in local politics to that level. But yes, I am. And so far, it's still a fascinating process for me to see how the sausage is made.
I've never heard it called that before.
The local sausage.
Yeah. All right. I guess I'm Trevor Christensen. I am the youngest on the podcast by a significant margin.
What? It's not even statistically significant, you liar.
It's like 6 months. It's significant. All right. My introduction to board games was from my grandmother, and she taught me, you know, all the classics that we all hate now, you know, Monopoly, et cetera, et cetera. And the funny thing is she did not do it to make me become a gamer. Her purpose in life was to teach me how to manage money. She completely failed. I am an awful money manager, but I love board games. By the time I was 13, I was really looking for more. I bought the first edition, Forgotten Realms box set in Walden Book, not even knowing what it was. Didn't have the main rule book, didn't even know what it was, just thought it was really cool. And so we bought it and I loved it, but I didn't know anything about it. I worked at Scout Camp when I was 13. And one of my coworkers at the scout camp is like, hey, why don't you come over to my tent and let's play some D&D? And I'm like, play what? And he's like, Dungeons and Dragons. And I'll see what it's like. And so we went and we played. And basically from there on out for the remainder of the summer, I shirked my duties at scout camp to go play D&D. And that was the beginning of a long path of D&D. And I played video games. Similar experience. My mother bought an Atari 2600 when I was very young. Played a ton of it as a kid. Uncle had Atari 2600 that I always got to watch him play on. And then when I was, I don't remember how old I was, I got a Nintendo and I played tons of video games too. So I'm not as much of a book nerd as my two cohorts are. I've probably read more comics than books as far as the nerd books go. But I do have my fair share of nerd books as well. So I am married and have three kids. I'm an IT guy by day. But I only do that says I have to.
I don't know. Once an IT guy, always an IT. Isn't that the truth?
I got into IT because I needed to build computers to play games. So
I would be amused to. You said that your grandmother taught you these games to try to teach you how to be responsible with money.
Yes, responsible adult. Like she, several of the games she played, she made me play were like Payday and The Game of Life. And one of the, you guys would love to have been a fly on the wall when we played The Game of Life. Do you remember The Game of Life had this board that had numbers 1 through 12 on it? And you could play, quote unquote, play the stock market where you put money on there and then you spun the thing. And if it landed on your number, you got a payday. Do you remember that part of life? You may or may not. But it was the whole point of the old Game of Life was that was quote unquote the stock market. Well, my grandmother would you know encourage me heavily not to do that because it was you know because to her it looked like gambling. It really was, you know. So yeah, she taught me all these games as a life lesson.
And they took hold.
The current world, the stock market is gambling for the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I loved every minute of it, but I didn't learn the lesson she wanted.
So let's talk briefly a little bit about the history of Chain Attack and then what we're going to be doing going forward.
Okay.
So Chain Attack started off as a Battle Report podcast for War Machine and Hordes, and then it stopped focusing as much on Battle Reports and still focused heavily on War Machine and Hordes, and we did that for 9 years. And then we reached a point where we decided that it was time to change the format, and that's what you guys are listening to now, Chain Attack Grading Geekery.
I feel like part of the history, when you tell that in the future, could be Chain Attack started off as a game of chicken between Trevor and I.
Clearly, we both lost.
What it feels like to see.
No, I mean,
who would keep doing it the longest?
There's a lot of really good memories with doing Chain Attack over the years. There's also some low points where you're like, man, this is a lot. But so, Josh, why don't you go ahead and start giving a preview of what our new format is going to look like?
So a lot of the point of the new format really was to widen the sphere of things to which we applied the rigorous scientific Chain Attack methodology of rating.
I love how serious you said.
I even kept a pretty straight face the whole time. But in this format, we want to talk about all things geeky or geekery, as we call it, because it's stuff that is near and dear to our hearts, really enjoy the community that also shares interest in these hobbies. And so we're going to be talking about books, movies, graphic novels, board games, video games, tabletop miniatures games, role-playing games, you know, really covering lots of things in that wide spectrum. And we're going to apply, again, the rigorous scientific Chain Attack methodology, seven item ratings. So, if you'd like, I can dig into the rating system.
Let's dive in.
So, seven different ratings we're going to apply to each topic that we bring to the Chain Attack Grading Geekery podcast. The seven topics are going to be, they're categories. Seven categories are going to be design, time management, repeatability, fun, and overall. So those first five are going to have a 1 through 10 scale applied to them. And then we have two other categories. Audience, where we talk about the audience to which we believe the game or book or other media best applies, and probably also, you know, when certain audiences might want to avoid it. And then our final, as Trevor in his IT wisdom calls it, binary category is go or no go, where each host will say whether or not the item that we have just finished reviewing is a go or no go for them personally.
So during each episode, we're going to take each of these categories and break down a product or something that we like, and we're going to talk about each of these categories. So let's just go real quickly through each category and sort of describe what they mean so that the listeners understand what we're talking about and we're talking the same language. So the first one is design. The design is basically the mechanics, the rules, the plot, whatever it may be. It's the core idea or concept of the product or thing that we're talking about. So this is obviously going to have to be a little bit in flux or depending on what type of topic we're talking about. But at the end, this is basically, this may not be execution, but it may be the concept or idea. You know, it may be, was the plot good for the movie? Yeah, it was a good idea, but did they execute it well? Well, may or maybe not. Well, you know, we'll get into that in the fun or overall categories, but the design is the core of the item.
Okay, so next topic.
So time management. This is where we talk about, if we were talking about a board game, for example, you'll probably often hear me say whether or not that game overstayed its welcome, whether it respected the time of the players, whether it, you know, lasted the right amount of time, and whether in a board game, for example, whether there was a lot of downtime, you know, of feeling like you weren't doing anything while you waited for it to come back around to your turn. When we apply that to things like books or movies, you know, we're going to talk about, for me, time management in a book is, you know, did it become difficult for me to put down because I felt like the pacing moved along so well, you know, and it just sucked me in. That might be a personality flaw as much as the power of the writing, but that's the kind of thing we would talk about in books or movies. And Jay, I think you, when we were developing this category, talked about a good example of it for a movie. How would we apply the time management category in that type of rating?
The example I gave previously was the Pixar movie Cars, which I'm pretty sure is around 2 hours and 20 minutes, which is just kind of ridiculous for any kid's cartoon. And it's a movie that I like, although it's not, I don't think it's perfect by any means. But that would be an example of, for that movie, it would specifically get kind of a poor rating for time management because it's just way longer than something like that should be.
Yeah, it's, great it's, example.
It's an hour and 50 minutes of fun packed into 2 hours and 20 minutes.
For Trevor, this is the bag category. How much
Correct.
Fun is packed into the bag?
That's right. The 2 hour bag, you packed 5 minutes of fun into it. Thanks.
All right, Trevor, tell us about repeatability. The repeatability category.
Repeatability, I believe, is the category where you want to do it again. So are you going to want to play the game again? Are you going to watch the movie again? Are you going to want to read the book again? You know, sometimes a movie can be really great. It can really captivate you and things like that. A good example is like, let me throw this out there. How about, you know, Sixth Sense? I think everybody's probably seen that by this point. I think we're past the point of, you know, spoilers. But there's Sixth Sense for me was great the first time. I wanted to rewatch it once. But at that point, it grew tiresome. I didn't want to rewatch it anymore because the first time I was like, holy cow, blew me away. The second time I'm like, well, I want to see all the things that I missed because, hey, he was dead and I didn't notice all these. So I watch it the second time, but the mystery is gone at that point. So is there really any repeatability in Sixth Sense? There might be some because it's still a good movie. But the point being is that doesn't have the same repeatability as, say, Willow did for me as a kid where I watched it 42,000 times.
That was on my list to watch with my kids still.
Yeah, I mean, it's on Disney Plus now.
Yeah, I saw it, so we added it to the list. The thing about repeatability for me also, it's interesting because for movies especially, and even books, for me to rewatch or reread something is actually pretty monumental. So when you hear me apply the repeatability, a high mark on the repeatability category to those type of things, you'll know that I seriously enjoyed it, right? Games, it'll be interesting to see how my repeatability score works with games, because a lot of times I'll get into a game and like I want to just play it a dozen different times to try to figure it out, you know, and then what'll inevitably happen is I'll read a strategy guide or something and then the mystery will be gone from that.
I agree that sometimes the repeatability can feel upon initial review high, and then you can replay a board game and figure out that there are mechanical issues with the game, and once you realize to use an idiom, when the game is solved,
right,
it no longer is it fun, because you know, I hate to use this because it's such a great game, but for example, Puerto Rico, it feels like once you understand the corn scenario and the corn strategy, unless there's somebody else at the table who understands it as well as you do, the mystery is gone. You're going to win most of the time because it's kind of the one path to victory in some cases. So,
okay, Jay, next up, let's talk about the fun category. It feels self-explanatory. one of the things I'm excited about in the podcast, though, is that I think you'll come to see and recognize how each of the hosts has a sort of a different flavor of fun, you know, as an example. the example I give is like, Any of the games, I mean, one of my favorites is like the Arkham Horror board game, or the RPG, like the Cthulhu RPG. Like, I totally think those kind of things are fun because I like love the process of losing. Love to watch hopes and dreams shattered, right? Even when they're my own. And so, that's what I mean by you might find that flavor a little different. Like, Josh has a little bit of a screw loose when it comes to certain games or styles of games.
So I will also mention that my fun usually involves a little bit of social conflict. So where one person might shy away from, you know, a little bit of tension in the room, generally I'm drawn to that sort of thing. So in a game like Republic of Rome or Twilight Imperium or Diplomacy, those sorts of games which may or may break the normal friendship rules, for me, those are intriguing. When I walk away, I think, man, that was really great. But at the time, maybe there are types of people who don't enjoy that type of game.
I've explained for years to my wife mostly, but to certain like family friends and stuff, I'm like, listen, when we sit down at the game table, there's a board game Josh. Don't conflate him with real life. Now, apparently what I've learned, you know, after 23 years of marriage, is I'm like, okay, board game Josh, you're going to need to stay under the table with certain groups and or opponents.
Are you saying your punches? What is wrong with you?
There's probably one person. That's what I'm saying, yes! I would probably tell him with my
wife. With his wife.
I do not, and sometimes it gets me in hot water with my wife.
Yeah, I don't pull them with my kid. I mean, let's be reasonable. That kid needs to learn what a blue shell is for in Mario Kart, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Besides, that will only last probably 6 more months.
Okay, so then our next category is overall, and overall is a composite of basically all things. So this is a general, how good is the product? You know, it could have a poor design, it could use its time poorly, but it's really repeatable and really fun. You get up from it and you say, well, crap, you know, that took longer than I thought it should, and it's kind of got these broken rules, but dang, it was fun. So it might grade overall well because of that, or, you know, vice versa. Whatever it is, it might grade poorly because of those things. So the overall is kind of a composite grade from the sum of its parts.
I was trying to think of an example of something that would get a higher score in the overall category than its other categories. And the one that I had to think of was, for me, Pacific Rim. because I just can't help but love that movie. Like, I just am, like, giggling like a 7-year-old boy the whole time I'm watching that movie, right? And I will freely acknowledge that there are all kinds of problems with it, and that it should not rank high on any of the other categories, but overall it would be like a 9 or 10 for me, because I'm like, can we watch Pacific Rim again?
There's, I can think of a board game that is a similar thing. I don't know if you guys remember, there was a board game that came out a few years ago called Panic Station. It was a co-op competitive game, and truly the design was mediocre. I mean, it probably overstayed its welcome just a little bit. Eventually it wasn't that repeatable, but truly it was fun, and I played a bunch of it, and I would probably have given it a pretty good grade, but the truth is it's not a great game.
Right. It's kind of a, am I remembering right, that's sort of an alien story, right? Like, which I think is part of what you end up liking about too.
Yeah, there's somebody who's infected, and then they can try to infect other people.
One, this one might be a better example of fun or nostalgia or something. Maybe I would grade it high overall as well. But, and maybe this explains a lot about my relationship with my brother. But we played a lot with me, my brother, and a friend played a lot of the Steve Jackson game Illuminati. And
oh my heck.
That is a, like, just stab each other ruthlessly, betrayal, you know, et cetera. And it's, the mechanics are not.
Yeah, they're not that strong. They're
very good per se.
Yeah.
But it's one that I've had a lot of fun playing.
Yeah. Some of the balance of the cards in that game, not so great. But yeah, it's, I've always had fun playing it, but it's more the social aspect of what it creates rather than the game itself.
There is,
though. I told you this Illuminati story, Jay, but my high school friends still have a memory of, we were playing it with my friends, and my father was also playing with us. And he did some move, probably with orbital mind control laser or something, that I basically swore at him, like right to his face. I was like, you know, I think I told him to go somewhere, not pleasant, right? And like, my dad is like, you know, if he were a D&D class, he's basically cleric of whatever lawful good god you have, right? And so for me to swear at him, like, they were blown away. It clearly was like indelibly etched in their memory, because they still bring it up.
Remember when we played Illuminati? there was something kind of fun about, like, you know, the orbital mind control laser is going to change the alignment of the Republicans. And so my, you know, X group is going to attack with this group supporting, etc. But it did lead to some funny combos.
Crazy. Yeah. Amazing.
Okay, so next category.
Okay, so next category is audience. So I talked about this a little bit. I mean, this is where we will talk about, you know, the cohort that we think the game or the media will most enjoy, or where it will be best fit. You know, this is where we might talk about, like, hey, if you're a family guy, this is going to be a good fit for a family, you know, with this age kids. Or we might say, you know, hey, if you're a man, all I can see is Steve Buscemi's face saying, hey there, youngsters. But, you know, like if you're a young college guy or gal, like we might say, hey, here's why this would be a good fitter. You know, if you, well, I know we'll probably talk about Onward soon, so I'll save my audience comment for that on that one. But that's the kind of things that we'll talk about, is where it might be a better fit or not so great a fit with the audience.
I think at some point we may, you know, cover more mature themes in some of this stuff. And we may say, hey, you might want to consider this before you introduce your 8-year-old to, you know, Spartacus, the board game.
Right. Like, you know, the one I was thinking of is like, there's some series that we'll be able to warn away people away from sometimes.
Yeah. And then the last category, the go or no go. As you listen to the show, you're going to catch on that really we are, the three of us have some different opinions or ideas or concepts of what we find fun or what's important to us. So we're each going to give a, whether we like it or not, or whether it's a go or no go for us. And as you find out which host is more like your own personality and what things they like, you also like, it will help you sort of decide, is this something they rated it good, but does that mean I should go enjoy it? Or because, you know, I aligned myself most with Josh, and Josh still didn't like it. He said it was a no-go for him. So maybe even though they rated it well, it's not really a go for me. Because truthfully, just because it rates highly doesn't mean that it's still the best choice for everyone.
Right.
Yeah, basically, the first time Trevor brings up, like, a first-person shooter, I'll be like, okay, that's a pure no-go for me. It doesn't matter how amazing it is. I say that, but I have played games like Doom and stuff like that, even somewhat recently.
Oh, yeah, I have fond memories of some FPSs, but the honest truth is, we may have to bring in a guest host occasionally just to be like, if you're not old, yes, you will like this. Maybe I can find my 20-year-old self from the past and be like, I'd have liked this when I was that age, right?
Well, I think if they're coming to this show for advice on first-person shooters, they've come to the wrong show. I mean, truthfully, especially in video games, I think we'll be probably exploring the little bit more obscure stuff, the probably more turn-based stuff, the more tactical choices, than we will be the general consumption that you can get from, you know, GameSpot.com or IGN or whatever. You know, that stuff is all out there, and that's not, you're not going to get that from this show, I don't. Although, certainly some of the things that we're going to talk about are fairly mainstream as well. They're just not the traditional. I mean, we're not going to talk about the new Doom.
I mean, okay. If there's a Doom skin for Civilization VI, then probably.
So, any closing thoughts on Episode Zero and Chain Attack Grading Geekery?
No, I hope they join us as we go through various things. This will be available as a Patreon premium podcast. We'll have a bonus episode each week that you can get through if you subscribe through Patreon, and we're going to have some other features available through Patreon. So if you want to help contribute to the potential content, that would be how you would do it. We'll have polls and other things available that you can vote on that might guide or direct the things that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the journey, and I appreciate everybody that's both listeners of our previous evolution and new listeners. Just excited to have everybody along for the ride and looking forward to the conversation.